Well, let's go to our study of the Word tonight, and we are in Proverbs chapter 2. Now, let me mention this. Next Wednesday night will be, the gentleman will be helping us with Proverbs chapter 2. Now, tonight we will be having an abbreviated study. We're going to do a couple of other things tonight before we go to prayer. And so just kind of getting you ready for Sunday evening's annual business meeting, which is not really the annual part of it, but it is that will carry our budget and all through the end of 2022. And we'll have another budget then for 22-23 if the Lord tarries his coming. And if he doesn't, then Brother Larry can help you after that. All right. I'm just teasing. So, I got to thinking about it, and we actually did this in Asheville, and normally we do it a week ahead, and it just didn't click with me. And we've been Brother Mintz and others and I have been, mainly Brother Mintz and I have been working feverishly, without exaggeration, on the budget for this year, the rest of this year, and it just did not cross my mind about getting it to you early. And so I was thinking about it earlier. Well, actually, it was yesterday, I guess, or day before, but we didn't finish it in its exactness. We had a lot of different things to think about, and so just brought it to fruition today. So I wanted to give it to you at least tonight, and any others that maybe are working in other parts of the ministry, we'll have it available for them. But it's the budget for the rest of this year. It's also the teachers and officers for this year, as well as a listing of all of our missionaries and how much we give to those missionaries on a monthly basis. Okay, so we'll give you all three of those, and so we're going to abbreviate the teaching a little bit. Now, let me mention about next Wednesday, and that is this: that last Wednesday was a blessing. Amen. We had a good group of men who are doing the teaching on the alternate Wednesday. I teach, for those of you who've not been with us, by way of live stream, or you're here tonight, we just started this, and so far I think it's been a blessing. And that is, I taught the first chapter. I didn't teach the chapter. I pick out one portion of a chapter, which I'm going to do tonight in chapter 2, and I'm going to teach that for a few minutes, and then we'll go to prayer and so forth. That's what I did the 2 weeks ago. Last Wednesday, I had the men who studied the same chapter, chapter number 1, and they focused on other parts of chapter 1 than what I dealt with, or it may have been the same, but most of it was different. And so next Wednesday night, I'm inviting us to do that again as we work our way through the book of Proverbs, so that you get a good feel for what I see in chapter number whatever it is. This time it'll be chapter 2. But then next time, it'll be chapter 2 as well. But from whatever man studies it through the week and wants to participate. Now, there may be some men that are a little bit more on the quiet side. And to get up here, the knees are rolling all over the place and the voices may be quivering, which is not a bad thing. We don't listen to that. We just want to hear the word. But maybe you would rather do it by way of email. And if you'll email me at randywbray@yahoo.com or the church, if you'll email us, gentlemen, and let us know what God has shown you through the week. And if you could do that maybe by Tuesday and get it to so I can have it on Wednesday morning and or maybe earlier, but just chew on something. And if you'd rather do it that way. Now, my personal opinion is, or my preference is, to have the various men come up and do it. Otherwise, it's just me reading. But that's better than not hearing from you. So if you would like to do it that way, if you'll just email it to myself or Brother Mintz, one of us, to the church address, email address, then we'll mention that on that Wednesday night when the men are doing the teaching of the service. Now, one other quick thing, then we'll go to our study, and that is this. If I could get the men, now, please don't respond, preacher, I'll do it if you'll do it, all right? Do as I say and not as I do, all right? That's not a good formula, is it? But we have so many men that participate, which is a blessing. And we have quite a few not here tonight. But we have enough men that it just kind of compresses the time. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Depending on how many men come, But if you'll keep your commentary to maybe 5 minutes or 4 or 5 minutes, somewhere in there, pick out the jewels that you have, and as best you can, if you'll focus on those jewels and just say, all right, this is what God showed me, and boy, this is good. And it's how it blessed me, and I want to share it with the church family and those who are listening by way of live stream. So that's next Wednesday night. I hope all of you will be a part of it, especially the juries, if you'll be here and do that. And that would be great. When are you folks actually leaving?
Tuesday.
All right. Well, we're going to be praying for you. We sincerely love you. I've loved you for a lot of years, 24 to be exact. And love you and thank the Lord for you. And these new friends and brother and sister in Christ, we love them as well. Well, with that in mind, let's go to the Bible then. And thank you for sitting up towards the front. That's just a blessing to me. And it just is. So thank you for doing that. But if you want to migrate the other way, I'm not even going to encourage you. All right. But if you do, that's fine too. I can adjust. I can come down there like I did. Didn't mind that. But this is nice. I have a little bit more room, and my notes aren't falling off the podium. So this is good. All right, here we are, chapter 2. And as I mentioned just a minute ago, this will be abbreviated. And I was going to get away from that, and thank you. And I was going to get away from it, and now I'm online with the microphone that I just turned on. So thank you, Brother Don and Brother Danny back there. So here we are in Proverbs chapter 2. And this is actually a text, if I can see. I actually taught from this text December the 21st. And I gave it just a little bit of understanding on the 21st, but I went into more texts than I'm going to do tonight. In fact, I went into where I am tonight, and I went all the rest of the way through the chapter, I believe. But tonight, I want to just focus on a passage of Scripture in Proverbs 2 that has changed my life. It really has. So many times, I lack wisdom. It can be in a variety of subjects. It could be business. It could be marriage. It could be the influence at the college. It could be here as a pastor. It could be just in every aspect of life. And you're that way as well. How many of you semi-frequently or frequently come to a place where you just simply say, I really don't know what to do here? Anybody besides me? Oh, yeah, everybody. All right. So that's why this is so important. It reminded me that God wants to provide my wisdom that I need before I need it. He is eager, He is passionate about providing the exact wisdom for the exact setting at the exact time for the exact purpose of His calling in my life or my setting. Even in those settings where I have not been what I should have. And I realize it, and maybe I'm a part of the Romans chapter 1, as you go down the stair steps, they handled the truth and unrighteousness. You remember Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. But the wrath of God, here we go, you talked about the gospel, the good news, the just shall live by faith, the righteous one shall live by faith. But then he says, but the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So God's ambition is to provide righteous settings for everyone. Because John 1:9 says, He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The unsaved, every one of them, God gives them enough light concerning Himself, concerning the need for a creator, concerning a lot of things that if they will respond righteously to that light, whether it's in Africa, in India, in North America, South America, the Hindu, it doesn't matter what setting in life, if they will respond righteously to the setting God's already given them,
then he will see to it that they get the gospel message. And there's many, 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 many testimonials to that effect, including my stepbrother, who was reared in Cambodia in the jungles and wanted to know God, just didn't know how to find him. And I've told you that story already. At the end of the Vietnam War, they came, they put it, all the refugees in a refugee camp that come to America and the other allied countries. And while he was in the refugee camp, a missionary from up north, I think it was up north, found out about the refugee camps. And so came and preached, beginning from Genesis, because they didn't know anything, and preached to him. He didn't get saved in the refugee camp as a little boy, but when they made it to America on a boat, they made it to California and the place where they go. It's not Ellis Island, but I can't think of the name of it, but where they took refugees. And then somehow he got into a church and heard the gospel again and got saved. So my point is, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So here's God who reveals himself to everyone. And if they respond righteously to that light God's given them, whether it's a gospel tract or a radio broadcast or a sermon or just in their conscience, knowing the Bible says even his eternal power and Godhead, when they respond, God's going to respond to them by making certain they hear the gospel. But then you have a category of individuals that say, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. Or far better off than the people in lands like Wat Yen grew up, they've grown up in New York City or in Buenos Aires or someplace where the gospel is presented, and they don't want it. Or it's a child of God who turns his or her back on what they know God wants. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of man who hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they have the truth. They can't hold it if they don't have it, but they hold it in unrighteousness. And from there, it just goes down. They change the truth of God into a lie. They worship the creature more than the creator. They were given over. They were given up. And just all the way down, and it gives a whole catalog of sins in which they've involved themselves. Now, that's the opposite of what you see in Proverbs 2. If you will, take your eyes to verse number 5, if you will. Well, let's look at verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as gold, talk about wisdom, for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. Now notice, if you will, verses 6 and 7. For the Lord giveth wisdom. That's his ambition. He's chosen ahead of time to do that. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now the verse that changed my life. He layeth up sound wisdom for whom? For the righteous. Very good. Thank you for giving a good hearty answer to that. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. So here it's up to us. Let's bring it to Calvary Baptist Church. As a matter of fact, let me just bring it behind this pulpit. And God is saying, Randy Bray, if you will respond righteously to what I tell you in the Word of God and by the counsel of the Holy Spirit in your heart, here's what I'm going to do for you. Now, I've already given you wisdom that you need for right now. But you don't have wisdom for where you're going to be tomorrow. I know what's going to happen, God would say. I know what's going to happen tomorrow. And there's going to be a turn of events. Or there's going to be a great opportunity. Or maybe a cataclysmic event. And you don't have that wisdom yet because you don't need it yet. But if you will respond righteously to where you are right now, in attitude, in action, I had the joy, what's today? Wednesday. I had the joy yesterday morning in chapel as the preacher preached. And at the end of the service, a young man from almost all the way back, a young man I've prayed for and others have too, he made his way all the way from the back of the auditorium in front of all of his peers. He is the only one that responded a very quiet young man, all the way down, all the way down, all the way down. And it was a message that came to his heart about his salvation. And he came and he met Pastor Ogle, who's one of the faculty members, teaches camping and youth work. He met Brother Ogle at the front. And Brother Ogle, Becky and I were right there on the second seat where we normally sit. And Brother Ogle asked if I would deal with him, so he went to my office. And I won't put you through the whole story, but to God be the glory, a great victory was won. Got down on his knees. And he began, a very quiet young man. It took him a while before he would start to pray. He's that quiet. He was just getting up the courage to say it out loud. And he began to pour his heart out to God. And he said, God, dear God, change me. Lord, I want, and he began to name some things of which I was aware. He said, I don't want to be that way anymore. See, this young man, before he made that choice, wisdom for tomorrow is not there, not from God. Worldly wisdom would be there. Maybe accumulated wisdom that he's had in the past that the Holy Spirit would use, but God's not laying up sound wisdom for those who are not responding righteously. But the moment he said, oh God, forgive me, with his heart, guess what? I haven't talked to him today. I'll see him tomorrow probably. But God began to lay up wisdom for where he would be today, in a difficult place, in front of his peers. And yet that's what God says. Notice what it says. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Have you ever thought about being in a place where you're uncomfortable? You know, maybe it's getting up here and, okay, I'm going to teach and this is not new, this is not easy for me. I believe Brother Allen said that, if I remember right. And I think Brother Mintz said that as well. And others, I don't normally do this. Maybe Brother Larry, I don't know, but I don't normally do this kind of thing. So we've all been in settings where we feel somewhat uncomfortable. But what he is saying here is when you and I are in a setting and we respond righteously in that setting, and then tomorrow there's another setting, not just, you know, walking around setting, but walking around setting that's introducing something where we're going to need wisdom. It may be wisdom for you. It may be wisdom for me. Yesterday, I teach three classes. I teach one at 7, one at 8, and one at 9. Yesterday afternoon, I had the privilege of counseling three different individuals. Well, one of them was that young man. But two others, one of them very serious. I don't have that kind of wisdom. I average about an hour and a half a day, generally speaking, in counseling. Sometimes many more hours than that, on campus, off campus. I don't have that kind of wisdom. My wisdom leaks out pretty fast. But I can go to the reservoir of God's wisdom that is, it's limitless. It has no handicap to its depth, nor to its application. There's a ladle named for every setting that all God has to do for Brother Ron is say, okay, here's where Ron needs wisdom. Here's a ladle with that name on it. Okay, not his name, a ladle for, and I'm going to take it over because Brother Ron responded righteously, and so he needs wisdom for this setting, and because he responded righteously here, I'm going to pour that out so Ron has it right here. And when Ron responds righteously to that, guess what? There's another setting going to come up 2 days later or a week later or an hour later. And in that setting, it's going to be different than this setting. Otherwise, God wouldn't need to lay up wisdom for that. He'd already have it. But he's going to need a different kind of wisdom over here. But if my dear brother Ron doesn't do that, he's on his own. Or Randy's on his own. Or Brother Kitchen's on his own. Or sister, we're on our own. That's why this changed my life. Because as a young preacher, a young pastor, I was scared to death. How am I going to know in a marriage conflict And we're all adults here. The first marriage conflict I had to deal with was with one of my deacons. I may have mentioned this in church or not, I don't know. But without going into detail, no reason to go into it. But a woman came to see me and just said, and first time I'd ever met her, came to a service, talked to her after the service. She said, "I just want you to know I'm having an affair with your deacon." That's good. No, it's not. That's terrible. I didn't believe her. This guy's really sharp. And long story short, she was not only telling the truth, but when I talked to him about it, he just bowed his head and he said, "Preacher, it's not only her, it's 26 more." Would you go with me to tell my wife? I knew God was going to catch up to me. I knew it was going to come. I knew it was coming. And I don't know how she's going to respond. I wouldn't blame her no matter what she did. Here's my point, friend, that when you and I fail to do what God wants us to do, where we are right now as a spouse, as a parent, as a church member, as a whatever we are, and we needed that wisdom and God had already provided it, but the next thing comes up and we don't obey what we already know to do, maybe in a relationship with a church member, it may be in whatever the subject is, we don't do it. That ladle that has that particular setting already engraved on it, he just needs to dip it out in for me at this point or for me over here at this point. And it changed my life that dealing with that man, as I went through it and so many others after that, and I remember staying in my office and saying, "Lord, how am I going to know what to tell him? What if they're sanguine or they're melancholy or they're a type A or they're whatever?" And I'd read counseling books and I'd been in counseling and psychology and all of that, and I'd done all that, and yet people that at one time, I don't know if it's still the truth, but the highest degree of suicide among professionals was psychiatry. So how am I going to figure out how to help these people that are in this problem and that problem? And I know in professionalism they have trouble doing the same thing. And I began to go to this book and I began to go to that book. It was almost like the Lord took a 2x4 and whacked me upside the head. He didn't do it like that, but it was profound. They are not the standard. This is the standard. And find out who's violating Bible principle. And when a husband's violating Bible principle, when a wife is violating Bible principle, it's a no-brainer that they're going to have trouble in their marriage. Or if it's a Christian with God, no wonder things aren't working the way they should. Find out where they're violating Bible principle. And early in those years, back in what, 88, I began doing a study of all of those things. Now here's my point. God wants me to have His wisdom more than I know I need to have His wisdom. Because I don't know what all settings are out there. I'm 70 years old. God may let me live to 71. He may not. God may let me live till I'm as old as Brother Mintz. And that's old. All right. He's got me by a birthday or so, all right? Maybe even two of them, all right? It's bad. I can't see in the sound room if he has a gun or not. I can't see, all right? he is saying, yes, So the point I'm trying to make is this. That's how much God loves us. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Whose name is included in that for the righteous? Whose name? Well, let me put it this way. Whose name is available? Whose name is included as a possibility of being included with that? Every one of us who know the Lord. Amen? The problem Brayfella has is the Brayfella. My flesh, my passions, as James would say. Every one of us are drawn away of our own lust, our own passions, and enticed by temptation. So I have to make a choice. What do I want? What do I want? The fun or the accomplishment or the things that I get through what I want? Or do I want God's wisdom? If I'll take God's wisdom, He's going to take care of everything else Matthew 6:33. I haven't taught you anything tonight that you don't already know. But I'll tell you what. I had read that passage, I can't tell you how many times, and it didn't hit me. But when it finally got through my thick head, that's how much God loves me and you and what He wants to do in our lives. And that being the case, wisdom is just waiting around the corner. For what else is waiting around the corner? But we get to that wisdom before we do. Now, let me finish with this. But when we travel from one setting of righteousness and God's provision, and we're traveling to another setting where we don't see the provision yet, what does it say in the last part of that verse? That He will be a what? A buckler. En route to His next wisdom, my knees may be shaking, my voice may be quivering, my teeth may be having close fellowship. But when I'm approaching it and I'm scared, I don't know how it's going to turn out. How are they going to receive what God wants me to do? And whatever it is, but He's going to be my buckler. And the Holy Spirit's going to say, Randy, Melissa, Chris, just do right. Just do what's right. And you'll find the wisdom. It's already there. It's on the table. It's waiting for you. And what a joy it is. Amen? Amen. Amen.